I've just come back from Nigeria. I did 4 weeks there, which is the longest time I've ever spent in one go. I've been working in the country in a city called Ibadan, which is in the south, for 24 years. We run a school there called the Soteria Business School, and most of the students that attend are on scholarship. We've got three scholarship types. We sponsor children at another school, which we helped to found. We're sponsoring young people, and you saw some of them as well, and we've got 15 staff. It may be that there are some of you here tonight that would be interested in sponsoring a child or a young person or one of my staff. And if you are one of those people, then I've got some information to give you, and you can take that away with you and for your consideration. It's a sponsorship pack. It may be for a child, it may be for a young person, or one of our staff, and come and see me afterwards. Thank you. I'm going to speak from Mark chapter 2 tonight. You might like to turn to that. Mark chapter 2. I met Everton McLeod many years ago and liked him almost instantly. He's 110% genuine, and he's 110% caring. And through the ups and downs that he has gone through many years ago, for example, I've prayed for him, never forgotten him, taken an interest in what he does. And it's really nice to be here, speaking in his church, and to be here with you tonight. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, you look beautiful tonight. I've written a few books. This one is a book that I wrote last year called It's hardback. It's got a lovely... It's in the sale. It's on the bookstall there. This one is free. Who wants it? You have to move. I've written another book. It's in... On that table there, called True Relationships, is about all sorts of stuff. Not just about relationships, but that's quite important, isn't it?
Yep.
This one's free. Who wants it?
Thank you.
There's another book in the sale. It's called True. This is a gospel book and a discipleship book. A good book to give to someone that doesn't know Jesus. It's in the sale. This one's free. Who wants it? Mark chapter 2, verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he'd come home. So many gathered, there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. Verse 5.
When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." So here we have Jesus, and we're told that he had come home. We're told that there were so many people gathered where he was that the place that he was standing in was full, outside was full, everywhere was full. And he was preaching the word to them. That's what he was doing. It was the word and the life of Christ which was attracting people. What was he doing? He was preaching the word to them. It is the word of God that gives and brings life. That's it. One word even, one touch even from God is enough. We're told that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we're told that even Jesus is the Word. The words of Jesus give life. One word from Jesus to Peter, and he walked on water. The only reason he walked on the water is because he walked on the Word of Jesus. He said to Jesus, "Is it you? Just bid me come. Just tell me come if it is you." He said, "Come." Oh, how we long sometimes to receive one word, one look from Jesus. We're told in the Old Testament that Moses instructed them that if they just turned and looked at the pole and the snake on the pole, even if they just turned their heads and looked, they would be healed. And it was the word of Jesus healing and bringing blessing. And we're told that some men wanted to get their friend to Jesus, but they couldn't. So what did they do? They didn't give up. When there was a problem, they didn't say, "Well, we can't do it. There's too many people on the outside. There's too many people inside. There's too many difficulties here. Let's go home." So they climbed the staircase, which was outside of the house, onto the roof. Can you imagine? What an amazing four friends. Broke the roof. Jesus was preaching the word to them. They took apart the roof, lowered the man in front of Jesus. How we need sometimes to be carried. How we need to carry someone.
Some years ago, I was in serious trouble. It was only because a group of people, quite a number, gathered around my life and did the right things to bring the help that I needed from God. There are times when we need to carry someone. There are times when we need to be carried. Not everyone likes to be carried. Some people find it difficult to be carried. But there will be times, often, when we must be carried. Carried by others, carried by God. We must. And there are times when God requires of us to carry people. When Jesus saw their faith, he was impressed. He liked it. He loved it. It's like he clapped them. He looked at their faith. The faith of the four men, not the faith of the man that was sick. And said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." So why have you come tonight? Why do you and I come to God? They had one thing in mind. Jesus had something else in mind. What have you got in mind? Tonight there will be an opportunity for you to respond to Jesus. What will you do? What will you do tomorrow? What will you do tonight? Son, your sins are forgiven, but I haven't come for that. My legs are busted. I'm paralyzed. But there was something that needed to be done in him that was even more important than for him to walk. But Jesus saw to the both of them. That's what Jesus is like. He's nice. He's good. He's big. He's bigger than and better than us. We're told, we know it, but we know little of it, that God's ways and God's thoughts are different. Son, your sins are forgiven. And then we're told that they were sitting near the teachers, blooming teachers. The religious people, the teachers, were sitting there, scoffing with their theology. Thinking to themselves. They weren't even muttering or schmuttering. They weren't even whispering on this occasion. They were thinking. Jesus knows what they were thinking. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking. They were thinking, who does this fellow think he is? Why does this fellow talk like that? We don't like what you say. We don't like your theology, and we don't like you. He's blaspheming. Only God can forgive sins, they were thinking. Jesus knew in his spirit that is what they were thinking, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But that you may know that I, the Son of Man, have power to forgive sins." And he stops. He doesn't finish it. He's not bothered. Get up. Walk. Because it's true that anyone can say that. It won't count for nothing, but anyone can still say it. It won't carry any power. It won't do any good. Your sins are forgiven, but you and I can say it. But it's something else to do what Jesus did, and he did it. Which is easier, to say to the, you know, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, pick up your mat and walk, but that you may know that I have all power to do all these things. Get up, walk. Go home. And he got up. He didn't even pray. Jesus didn't even pray for him. Jesus seldom prayed the way we pray. He just commands the wind and the waves, stop. Very few occasions in the Gospels does he pray like we pray. He said to the man, get up, walk. On other occasions, he prayed to the Father, and he did it for the benefit of the people. He's so different, isn't he? He's so different. He was really free. He was so different. They say that we only use about 10% of our brain, maximum, they say. I think spiritually we use a little of what the potential is in us. I think there's so much more to me than there could be. And the same to you. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in front of them. This amazed everyone. They praised God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. This man came to Jesus to get his legs fixed. And Jesus fixed his legs. This man had another issue, problem, to have his sins forgiven. He didn't come for that. But he got that too. And maybe there are things in our lives that we don't even see clearly or even at all that God and Jesus wants to see to. Or there are places that he wants to take us to. Things that he'd like to do in us. Healing that he would like to bring. Places that he'd like to take us to. Things that he would like to do in us, through us, that we maybe don't see. He's interested in those things too. Soon there will be an opportunity for you and I to respond to Jesus tonight. At the end. And this is an opportunity for us to come to Jesus. Now, you may know exactly why you're coming to. You probably do. There is something you'd like him to do for you. Or you would like to do for him. I hope you heard that. Or something that you would like to do for him. But maybe there's something in the way. There was something in the way for them. There was no room. Maybe you know. And you can come and receive prayer for that thing. Maybe you don't know, but you'd like to come forward and say, here I am. Do what you like with me, Lord. What would you like to do with me? And it may be that you'd like to say to him, well, there's something I'd like to do for you, but there's no way through. Break the roof, Lord. Break the roof. Lower me down. I'm standing on the edge. I need to get close and be set free. I don't want to stand off. I'm coming through. And maybe that is your prayer and my prayer tonight. Lord, lower me down. And speak the word and set me free. It may be physical healing you need. Come. To who? Look through people. Look beyond that. And say, I'm coming to Jesus. It may be an emotional thing. It may be something else that you want God to do for you, need God to do for you. I hope the people that you come to are really open, that God uses them. Maybe one of them will have a word for you. I was preaching in a church in Cyprus just a few years ago. I finished preaching, sat down, and this woman came up to me in Paphos and said to me, can I pray for you? I've not experienced that often. I've just preached, I've sat down, someone wants to pray for me. But it got much better than that. So she said, can I get a friend? So she got a friend. There's two women sitting next to me now. I feel a bit safer. I thought, I like the look of these two women. No, I mean, you know, like the look of them. So I thought, oh, they want to pray for me. That's good. I was in a hurt position, recovering from something. They didn't really pray for me. Not until the end. They gave me a word. Four things. Number one. First and foremost, you're not a servant. You're a precious son. Number two, I see a gold coat over your life. It means this. Number three, Job. We speak the words, Job, to you. What happened to Job will happen to you. Chapter 42 of Job will happen to you. That in the latter stages of your life, it'll be more blessed than the former. And it went on like this. Number four. God trusts you. Now, the fact that I can rattle it off like that, and it happened a few years ago, you might like to conclude the truth. It had a profound effect on me. The words that the women said were true. They brought healing to me and are still bringing healing to my life. That was an unexpected thing that night, that day rather. And it may be that as you come forward tonight, that the people praying with you or ministering to you, God will drop in their hearts a word for you. What have I said tonight? Jesus wants to meet the obvious need and also the thing that's not so obvious. Whatever that may be. It may be you need him to do something for you. And it may be that you want to do something for him. And that's why you're coming out too. Here I am. I'm available. Push through. All barriers. Let nothing hinder you in life from coming to Jesus. He's the life giver. And may you and I, tonight and all our days, may we be receiving His word. May we be receiving Him, because He's the healer and the saviour. I'm not so much He is standing in my life. He's standing by me. He stands by me. He stands in me. This Jesus stands in us. And because I know that He stands in me and stands by me, I do what I do. I go to a country year after year. Sometimes I dearly like to stop. 24 years plus. I want to stop sometimes. But He's the Lord. I can only stop if He stops me. I can only stop if He says stop. I can only stop if I die or if I see red writing on the wall. Because He's the Lord. I'm not the Lord. God forbid that I should be in charge. The world gets a better deal when He's in charge. You get a better deal. The Nigerians get a better deal when He's in charge. When I'm off the platform and He's standing in me and He keeps saying to me, do this, write this, go there, speak up. When I turned 50, God said to me, I want you to be a schools evangelist in Nigeria. Forget the conferences, the churches, the platform. Stand under trees. Do discipleship, preach the gospel. And that is what we were doing 2 weeks ago. I'm under instructions. I'm under command. He's in charge. I'm just a soldier. I'm under orders. He's standing in me. He's standing by me. He will never leave me. That is what gives me confidence, knowing that He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. Job was amazing in chapter 1 when he said, blessed is God He gave, He took. What a testimony. He gave me my children, He's taken them. Well, I have one daughter. I couldn't imagine if she was taken that I would easily say what Job said. But he said it and did it and lived it because God was standing in him. And when that word comes to us, and I'm thankful for the two women that were faithful that day, let's be faithful. Whatever God says to you, you do it. Whatever He prompts you, He's talking to us often, but we're disobeying often. We need to go with that prompting of the Holy Spirit. We need to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. We are spirit-filled people, but we need to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, with the promptings of the Holy Spirit. I was in Western Kenya some years ago, and I felt the Lord put something in my heart. Ask the manager of the hotel this. I want you to do this, Andy. So I said to him, I said, how many staff have you got? He said, 40. I said, gather as many. I didn't ask him, I told him. Gather as many as you can tomorrow and I will address all your staff at the hotel. He said, okay. 20 were gathered, put in a conference room. I had 15 minutes. The Holy Spirit told me to do it. What is he telling you to do? And what do you need from him? For your life, for your own self, for the ministry that God's called you to. 20 people were gathered. In 15 minutes, I shared something of my story, proclaimed the gospel, and invited them to turn to Christ and led them in a prayer. Did all that, jumped in the car, we went off. That was my last 30 minutes at the hotel. In the words of Mary to the servants at the wedding in John 2, whatever he tells you to do, do it. What do you need from Jesus? I'm done. I've finished. But he hasn't. What do you need from Jesus? You know. And then there's the other thing which you may not know. You may have a little clue about. That's okay. It doesn't matter. Say, Lord, whatever you want to do in me, Lord, I may not even see it. Here I am. I'm open. Do it. And I say to the people that are going to be praying for people, listen up now. I pray for you even now that the Lord will give you words for people, scriptures for people, even now, by God. Scriptures for people, words for people, promptings by the Holy Spirit for people. I pray that honesty will prevail. I pray that the truth, and he is the truth, will come and invade us. I want to be invaded. I want Jesus to come. And even if he points out something that is he doesn't like, let him point it out. Let him point it out. We read those verses from Isaiah. I'm undone, I'm gone, I'm lost, I've had it. And then he touched him and he was forgiven. My guilt's gone. That's what the blood of Jesus does. Know that we are forgiven 110%. By the blood of Jesus. Even though your sins are red as crimson and red as scarlet, blah, 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 they shall be white as snow, white as wool. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Jeremiah 29. May that word of God come and settle the matter. In Jesus' name. Shall we ask the music group to come up? What's going to happen now? Is that some people here are going to be available to pray with you and seek the Lord for you. They're going to come up in shortly. You know who you are. And during this worship time, if you have a need, or if you don't have a need, you may be in trouble, but you may not be in trouble. I'm not always in trouble. It may be something that you want to do for him. It may be a dream. Maybe you can say, I have a dream. I want it realized. Here I am. Send me, Lord. Maybe you want to be free. Lord, I don't want to be snared like a bird anymore. Do what I read in the psalm. Break the snare so that me, the bird, can be released. So I can fly like an eagle, not like some silly little robin with a little red chest. I don't want to be in a robin anymore. Cute, but it's not an eagle, Lord. I want to be an eagle, Lord. I want to soar like an eagle. It's like the lion of the birds, isn't it? It's not a robin or a blackbird, is it? What bird did we see today? A heron. I was impressed by the heron. That's some bird, isn't it? It's not an eagle. It's good. And the Lord didn't say they shall rise up like a heron. The Lord didn't say they're going to rise up like a blackbird. That's a British thing, blackbird. Or black, or robin. Here I am, Lord. Maybe you are sick. Seriously sick. I'm inviting you tonight to come to Jesus for prayer. Maybe you need a breakthrough. Maybe you need a woman. Maybe you need a husband or a wife. Isn't it? Isn't it? What is it? Come. Shall we stand?